Thank you for praying for Marilyn. Continue. She's been up since 1:30 this morning. A lot of pain in her back. So she obviously is not with me. And that's difficult for me because I need her. I'm going to have you turn to two different portions of Scripture. And the first one is the book of Acts, chapter 13. I want to deal, I know I preached a series on David about a year and a half ago, but I want to talk about him again. And I'm going to look at this portion here in verse 22 of chapter 13. Then I want to look at his prayer. Matter of fact, oftentimes when I look at Psalm 51 where David is repenting, I look at that more doctrinally, I guess, and I never really see it much as a prayer, but I want you to know that's a prayer that needs to be prayed when we are involved in sin. We come over here to chapter 13, verse 22. He said, when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Think with me that phrase, I found the son of David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Now the human heart does not like what God likes until it is made God-like. Let me say that to you again. The human heart does not like what God likes until it becomes God-like. And David lost the likeness of God in his heart when he had committed that terrible sin that day with Bathsheba. And about a year later, the Lord had certainly got a hold of his heart. In the meantime, we know if you read Psalm 32, read Psalm 38, and you read Psalm 51, you know that David went through a tremendous battle in his own self. And I will share with you tonight that if we can sin and not go through a great battle in our heart, there's something wrong with us. And I'm afraid today that I think Matt talked about it this morning in Sunday school. We sort of have categorized sin. There's big sins and little sins and kind of in between sins. That's not so with God. When you come over here to Psalm 51, I wish we would treat all of our sins the way David treated his sin here in Psalm 51. David wrote this, and I want you to notice five different truths here that are in that text. We're going to see how David asked for a total cleansing first. And then we find David was aghast that when he thought about his sin, when he looked at it the way God looked at it. Then we see David was afraid of going back to his sin. And David was awakened to spiritual blessings when he confessed spiritual desires and then certainly anticipated the blessings of God. And there are no blessings of God if we do not take care of those sins, no matter how little we think they are or how big others may think they are. And I often find out that in our own eyes, oftentimes our sins are very small. In other people's eyes, they're bigger than that. But in God's eyes, they're immense. Father, I pray this morning, we take a few moments and look at this text. I pray that you will deal with our hearts. In Christ's precious name, amen. And those first four verses, as we look at those first four verses, I notice here David asks for a total cleansing. In each of those four verses, I notice something very unique in them. First of all, I see a tenderness about his sin. David is tender about his sin. I have found that unless we become very tender about our spiritual life, we'll do nothing about it. When I come over here to verse 1, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Very important because, you see, David doesn't remind God of always past contributions. I have found a lot of times when we sin, and the longer we have success in our Christian life and the more we seem to do for God, how easy it is to oftentimes in our thinking process to remind God of all the things we've done. And therefore, Lord, why not overlook this sin? David didn't do that. He not only doesn't remind God of all his past contributions, but he doesn't try to justify himself. After all, he could say, that wouldn't have happened if Bathsheba wasn't there on that rooftop. That wouldn't have happened if she was totally unclothed. That would not have happened. I find a lot of times we try to justify what we do. David, he is so tender here in this passage that he makes no attempt to justify it or to remind God of all that he's done. He doesn't say, I've heard this one. I'm only human. Isn't that a way out of time? I'm only human. What's that got to do with our sin before God? He doesn't blame the pressure of the position. He doesn't say, listen, you don't understand the pressure. I'm the king. I've got all this responsibility on my shoulders. Certainly, we can overlook that. No, David is certainly tender about his sins. Secondly, I find in verse 2, David is not only tender about his sin in verse 1 as he asks for a total cleansing, but he certainly is truthful about his sin. And I find that if you look there in verse 2. He said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now, in the previous verse, you have three words for sin in verse. Look, the last word in verse 1 is transgressions. And then he talks about his iniquity and his sin. Isn't that not interesting that he doesn't minimize that. He is truthful about. Now, that word transgression literally means I have rebelled against God. It's the word transgression here is, notice it's transgressions. It's in the plural. You know, I have found that if we don't take care of the sins of our life, they just sort of multiply. You know, you commit one sin and you don't take care of it and you just hang on to it and we never just sin once. If we don't take care of it, it will just begin to add one to it. And David began to add one sin to another sin after he committed that sin with Bathsheba. And that is, that word transgression deals with the inward thought here. Then he will use that second word there in verse 2. It's the word iniquity. It's the word for lawlessness. And you know, if we could just see sin not only as transgressions, which is inward, which is rebelling against God, but it's certainly law. He's basically saying, Lord, I've ruined my reputation. Are you ready for this? More than anything else, I've ruined your reputation in my life. And we need to see what David is trying to say to all of us, why God and that had him write this prayer down for us. He not only had ruined his reputation, but he had put a dark spot on God's reputation. The third word. So the first word, transgression, which was inward. He's truthful about it. I have literally rebelled against you, God. And then outward, I have ruined our reputation. And then that word sin, which is upward. It's an interesting word. It's a word which is used for ceremonial cleansing. When a person would have leprosy, that word was used. And he was simply saying, Lord, I have rebelled in my transgressions. I have ruined our reputation in my iniquities. And I am now in need of recovery from my leprosy. Wouldn't it be better if we would all look at every sin that we commit as leprosy? If we could see it just the way it really is? Oftentimes in my own life, I think we even in this world get so busy when we sin, oh, I forgot to take care of it. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever done that. But I believe how easy it is. But if we could look at it the way God did, leprosy. Notice, not only do we see here, as he asked for total cleansing, his tenderness and his truthfulness, but I see his transparency about his sin there in verse 3. He said, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Can you imagine for a whole year that David is trying to cover this up? But if you know the character of David and how he had walked with God, a man after whose heart? After God's heart. It was obvious that there was a transparency. And I'm sure those around him knew that there was something wrong. In my years in the ministry, as I've said in the platform many a time, and I've seen people walk in and be seated when you spent 45 years now in the ministry, I've noticed people's change in their countenance, change in the way they're reacting to whether they're singing or not or responding to the Word of God. And, you know, their sin becomes pretty transparent. And David's sin, no doubt, had become so transparent. He said, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." And if you read Psalm 32 and Psalm 38, you could just see that, how David was just, it was so obvious in his countenance. Things were not right between him and God. He not only, as he wanted total cleansing, he was not only tender about it all, truthful certainly, and transparent, but he was troubled about his sin. I think that's verse 4. And please, whatever you do, don't misinterpret verse 4. For he says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest." He's not saying here that I have sinned before others, but I want to tell you something. Until verse 4 becomes a reality, we don't not really repent. I can read in Bible characters. I can see it in my own life. There are many things in my life that I've done that I have regretted. How many can say that? But that's not good enough. There are many things in my life that I have shown remorse for. That's not good enough. Verse 4 deals with genuine repentance. Because until we realize that although horizontally, we have sinned against, no doubt, many, and David did. He sinned against a lot of people. But he's focusing on the one who we really have to answer to, is God. "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." He's troubled. And I have found that unless we really get a look at the way God looks at our sins, we're not going to take care of it. Because what we do on a horizontal level, well, he says, he does it, she does it, they do it. Or what I'm doing is not nearly as bad as what they're doing or he's doing or they're doing it. No. Because that relieves the conviction that God brings about. So we can repent of our sins. Remorse? No. Regret? No. Repentance? Yes. David asked for a total cleansing of his sin. God wants us all to do that. Secondly, David was aghast at what God showed him. I mean, the word "behold" here in verse 5, it literally means, you ever have something you didn't see before that was so bad and you went, "Oh, I'm aghast at this." For one whole year of David's life, he tried to cover it up, and then he came to that "behold" in his life. You see, I don't know if you understand this. I hope you do. But we need to learn that when we sin, are you ready for this? We need to meditate on our sin. Just to understand what we've done. I mean, really meditate on it. And that meditation only comes when we receive a visit from God. And that's exactly what happened to him. He received a visit through Nathan. You remember that? I'm glad today that I've sat in the many a time and I received a visit from God about some things in my life that I knew at one point and I had to just leave and go down to that altar, or didn't, maybe it wasn't an altar, it wasn't a deal, but whatever, I took care of it because I got a visit from God. And in that "behold," I have read my Bible and went, "That's me. That's me. And I couldn't read the next verse. And when you become aghast over what you've done wrong in your life, you can't read the next verse. I remember more than once in my walk in the mornings when I do walk get back home, my 4.5 mile walk, and there are times when I love, that's my prayer time, that I enjoy the walk and praying together. And there are many a time I begin praying that the Spirit of God will bring something to my memory. I can't go on in my prayer. Because I know I need to take care of that. He not only received a visit from God, but he saw here the vileness of man. Look here, if you will, please, in verse 6, or verse 5. He received a visit from God there in verse 4. But in verse 5, I was shapen in iniquity. Excuse me, I was shapen in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. Now stop. We're very vile people. We're very vile. That word behold there in verse 5, verse 5 speaks of a visit from God, but I see in verse 5 as well the vileness of man shapen in iniquity. I don't know, Brother Scobel, but the older I get, the more I realize the one thing I'm glad I'm going to leave behind. It's not my body as much as my sin nature. I'm going to get the body back one day. Went to Altonville's mother's homegoing graduation service yesterday. Blessed time. She'll get that body back one day. Brand new, but not that sin nature. Because we are vile. Vile people. That's what David is saying in this text. As he was aghast over what God showed him, we not only see here in that word, behold, he received a visit from God, and that word, shapen in iniquity, he saw the vileness of man, but thirdly, he heard the voice of God, and I believe here in verse 5. Behold, I was... Verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Underline the word wisdom. Now, you know who gives us wisdom today? That blessed Holy Spirit. He not only received a visit from God and saw the vileness of man, but thank God, he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit in his own heart. He looked at himself and just heard that voice. Nathan came to him, didn't he? But long before Nathan came to him, the Holy Spirit was knocking at his door, his heart. And David had at one point convinced himself that, been almost a year now, I've gotten away with this. I want you to say this, I want you to think this, and thank God that we don't get away with our sins. Just be thankful for that. That's one of the great blessings. But David was not only asked for total cleansing, was aghast at what took place in his life, but he was afraid of going back to his sin. I hope that you look at that with me. Verse 7 through verse 10. There seems to be a fear here of David that he may go back to it. May I make sure we understand something? We need to be afraid of the same thing. Whatever sin we confess, we need to have an awesome fear that we could go back to it at any time. And I read over here in verse 7, he's going to make some remarks here in verse 7 through verse 10 that I draw your attention to in verse 7. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. In other words, reconcile me to thyself. Purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. Wash me. Or as we say in Ohio, wash me. I thank God for the soap of His Word. I thank God for the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit of God. Because until there is a cleansing, there can be no reconciliation. No reconciliation. And I'm not talking about 1 John 1:9 prayer. I think that verse is overused wrongly. Because most of us, if we think about it a little bit, we could say, well, you know, I know if I do this, it's wrong, but thank God for 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's head stuff when you think that way. That's not heart stuff. That's not premeditated thinking here, that I can go ahead and do it and get cleansed. No, don't do that, please. Let us understand that if when we do it and we're broken over it, God will cleanse us. Reconcile me in verse 7, and remind me in verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. If you read Psalm 32 and Psalm 38, David was literally physically sick from his sin. Read those chapters. He had heart problems. He had pains. And he's, now my wife is in a lot of pain, but if you know my wife, she's right with the Lord. But David knew his sin was tremendous. And he aged him. I want to make sure we understand something. There is a real strong comparison between sickness and sin. David's experienced that. I'm not suggesting that everybody who is sick is in sin, but I do know this. If you do not feel well in your spirit, you'll not feel well in your body. It will affect you and in your soul. Reconcile me in verse 8. Remind me, Lord, I'm afraid to go back to this here. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Remind me what I went through. Let me not forget it. God said, fine, I'll have you write Psalm 32, Psalm 38, and Psalm 51. Then he says in verse 9, not only reconcile me in verse 7, remind me in verse 8 that I'll not go back to this. Verse 9, remove from me the stain. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. Now you've heard my story more than once. I love fountain pens. I love them so much that I take the lid off, screw it like this, and when I'm through, and stick it in my pocket. And my wife will say, dummy? No, she didn't quite word it that way. She's too sweet to do that, but she's probably thinking that. I'm so tired of removing the stains from your shirt. I want to say this. God is never tired of removing the stains. If he does, I don't know how I'd go on and how you'd go on in life. But I ask you today, never try to do it yourself. Only God can do it. You've heard me say one time when Marilyn, after she finally said, you know, no more, she grabbed me like this. I love you, honey, but you not only need to put the cap on the ring before you put it in your pocket. She went away, and sure enough, I did it. And I said to myself, I don't understand what her problem. This is so easy. And that little tiny stain, I put that under the faucet, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, that's exactly what we do when we try to do it ourselves. We try to take care of it ourselves. He's saying here, God, not only reconcile me and remind me, but remove from me that stain. Only you can do it. And then finally in verse 10, as he's afraid of going back, he says, oh God, remake me. Because that's the word create. Comes from the same word that in the beginning God created. And God created this world out of nothing, and I want you and I to know something today. You and I are nothing. You know what nothing is, don't you? That's a zero with the rim knocked off. That's all we are. And God can take a person who has sinned, and he can just make him into his loving creature, creating me, what kind? A clean what? God, David was a man what? After God's own heart. He said, oh God, the human heart can never be like God until it is made like God. Please create in me. David, not only asked for a total cleansing and was aghast at what God showed him and was afraid of going back, but David was awakened to new spiritual desires. You know, I have found that our spiritual desires just sort of shut down when things aren't right in our life. Did you ever notice that about people? Have any desire to read their Bible? Have any desire to go to church? Have any desire to pray? By the way, I'm going to say this to you, whether you like it or not. I'm leaving in a few weeks. Sing when we're all supposed to sing. What looked like you're just a corpse. But maybe you're acting like a corpse because there's something going on. If you don't sing, there's something wrong with you. Read a lot of the Bible. Check with this man. He'll tell you what the Bible has a lot to say about singing in Scripture. If you don't have a song, maybe that's why you don't sing. He had new desires. Oh, God, I want those desires. Waken me to spiritual desires. Number one, the desire he desired. The presence of God. I don't know about you, but when I have things in my life that aren't right, I'll be honest with you, the last person I want to communicate to is God. I really don't want to talk to him. I just don't. Because you know what? He's going to tell me what's all wrong with me. He says over there in verse 11, cast me, give me a clean heart, O God. Verse 8, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, we know theologically, doctrinally, we don't have to pray. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't have to pray that the Holy Spirit come back. He didn't leave me, but I left him. There are times a day we could say we almost... Where is the Holy Spirit? Well, he's grieved. He shut off communications. Oh, he said, there, I need the presence of God. He not only requested for the presence of God, that should be your spiritual desire, but he also desired the power of God. Look there again in verse 11 when he says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, listen, you can... The human spirit fails unless the Holy Spirit fails. You've heard me say that. There be no power in your life, power in my life, unless it come through the blessed Holy Spirit. And thirdly, if you read down further, he desired here not only to the presence of God, and certainly he wanted the power of God, but he desired to praise God. Look there in verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto me, unto thee. Look at verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, that the God of my salvation, and my tongue. That's the verse I wanted to get to you in verse 14 there. Look there, if you will, please. He said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, that God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. He just hadn't praised God. You ever? I miss it. If my heart is not praising God, I miss it. And I got to have it back because it's important to me. Can I just say this? Praise feels good. Sin feels bad. He desired the presence of God, desired the power of God. He desired to praise God. And he desired to proclaim God. In verse 14 as well, down through verse 16, he said, verse 14 again, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. He's referring to, I just forgot his name, Bathsheba's husband. That's right, Uriah, thank you. I'm glad you're listening. I have a photographic mind, but the film's old. It keeps wearing out on me. O thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy right. Deliver me from blood guilt. And O God, he said, I have no message. O, look at verse 15. O Lord, open my lips, and my tongue shall show forth thy praise. I just want to proclaim God. I can't proclaim God in the shape I'm in. You know why a lot of people don't go visiting? Visitation, don't go soul winning? Problems in their life. They don't have a message. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying a lot of people. But there, look at verse 15. Open thou my lips, and my tongue's mouth shall show forth thy praise. Verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else will I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. He just wanted to proclaim truth. Finally, David in this text, not only was asked for a total cleansing, which God will give you, and he was aghast over what God had showed him, and he was afraid of going back to his old ways, and he was awakened to spiritual desires, but he anticipated spiritual blessings. He just wanted God's blessings. And that was verse 17. Sacrifices of God are a broken heart, spirit, a broken and a contrite what? Heart. David is a man after what? God's own heart. O God, thou would not despise. In other words, he was simply saying here in verse 17, recover me. Recover me, recover my heart. The recovering of his heart. The greatest blessing you can have is to have your heart right with God. See, I need a recovery, my heart. I want to be able to say again, I'm a man after God's own heart. Oh, I would like to have that said about me before God. Dear ladies and gentlemen, for yourselves. Verse 17, he anticipated a recovering of his heart. The next verse, he anticipated rebuilding the walls of protection. Look at verse 18. After verse 17, he's talking about a recovery here of the heart. So that God once again can look at David and say, David, oh, I'm glad your heart's right. But now he talks about rebuilding the walls. Look at verse 18. Do good in thy good pleasure, and to Zion build thou the walls of Jerusalem. There's an application you don't want to miss. In those days, the walls of a city were important for what? Protection. And over in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, we find these words. He that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. You know what our problem is? Why we sin more than we need to sin? It's because we don't build the walls of protection. Just don't do it. And if you got a problem with this or that, build the walls of protection around you. I think the reason why we have so much pornography problem among Christians today is because they don't build the walls of protection around them. They look at the things that the world looks at. He anticipated the recovery of his heart. He anticipated rebuilding the walls of protection. Oh, and here's the most important to me. He anticipated returning to worship. I believe this verse 19. Then thou shalt be pleased. When you recover your heart and rebuild the walls, now you can return to worship. Verse 19. Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. Now, we don't do that today, but he's talking about worship. David looked to the place where, oh, once again, I can worship God. Is God pleased with you today? It's a good question, isn't it? Or is there something that you got out of this that God convicted your heart of? I take care of it this morning. It's a convicting prayer. Do not just see it as a psalm David wrote, but see it as a prayer. And I've memorized that chapter because it is a prayer that I want to know. Because that prayer is for me, in my life, and for you in your life. Father, as we close this part of the service, I pray that you would deal with our hearts. Lord, we're going into something very important here as well in a few moments. We need to be ready for that in our hearts.